Well, good evening. You know, the fall, I'm probably going to get dates wrong, it's not going to be good. The fall of 1998, Missy was pregnant with the twins, and that wasn't going real well. I was working for Clint at Tyson and thought I would be smart, a feed auger. Feed was going everywhere, and boy, I sure hated for Tyson to lose that money. And so I was washing a hog house down with a pressure hose, and I put the pressure hose where a gate rod typically goes, and that usually would hold the wand that was shooting the water 99 out of 100 times. That one time, though, it shot up out of there, shredded my retina. I don't remember what all it did to my left eye. Fast forward, 2016, I'd had a cataract growing on my left eye, and they kept saying, well, it's not ripe yet, it's not ripe yet. They finally said, it's time to take that thing off. So I went from about 2500 vision in my left eye, I was legally blind, to when they took that cataract off, 20/20 vision in my left eye. My good eye, not my good eye anymore. It's got 20/25 vision, which, but it's just enough that if you don't have one, they throw each other off. So I say all that to say, I brought reinforcements tonight. I didn't think Steve would be here to bail me out. So, and I've got a contact at home. It's just a whole process. It's a long, drawn out process with me and touching my eye. And I didn't want to do that today. So this evening, I don't know that I want to do that either. We're going to just do this regular. This evening, we're going to talk a little bit about what we talked about last week, and not so much as loving our enemy, but more so about that word that Jesus uses there in Matthew 5, that teleos, that perfection, when he says, therefore you'll be perfect like your father, and how we talked about that the Greek word translated to that is actually to mature or to grow. And so, and that's a difficult to get around that way of thinking. When you think of perfection, or you ask how many people believe that they are perfect, well, you don't get very many hands that ever come up. If you ask if anybody knows anyone that could become perfect, not very many hands go up for that either. Because a lot of times we don't equate, or we do equate perfection with sinlessness. And that would, of course, negate Romans 3:23 that tells us that everyone has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But there are other scriptures. Genesis 6:9 tells us that Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. Paul tells the Philippians in Philippians 3:15, let us therefore, as many be perfect, be thus minded. So there seems to be somewhat of a contradiction here. Either those people of Scripture defied Romans 3:23, being sinless, or there again is something about the biblical concept of perfection that we don't really understand completely. And again, I believe Matthew 5 indicates there is something about perfection that we don't understand. We have talked about that. That Greek word, teleos, it shows up several times in the New Testament, and it's almost always translated in English as perfect. But there again is that one passage that's translated in the way that it's easier for us to understand. In Hebrews, the 5th chapter, beginning in verse 12, we read these words. Paul says, or the writer of Hebrews says, we have much to say about this, but it's hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, or that word teleos, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. In other words, this teleos means to be mature. And what does it mean to be mature? Well, that means to grow up, to become responsible, reliable, dependable. In short, we have to learn as Christians to behave as an adult. And that's what Jesus is saying in Matthew 5. Again, if we look at Matthew 5, beginning in verse 43, Jesus says there that you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. There is a certain kind of behavior that you need to exhibit. And then, as verse 45 puts it, you will be sons of your Father in heaven. So when Jesus tells us to be perfect like your Father in heaven is perfect, again, he's saying to grow up like your Father in heaven. So what does it mean to grow up to be like God? Well, in that passage, Jesus doesn't say a thing about being sinless. What Jesus does say in Matthew 5:44 is that perfection, or growing up to be like God, means that you love your enemies and you pray for those who persecute you. Why, again, would we do that? Well, and I guess the easy answer is because that's how God behaves. God is the grown-up in that situation. And this is the behavior that he wants us to model. Again, just to make Jesus' point again, if you love those who are nice to you, well, anybody can do that. Even small children love those who are nice to them. But it takes an adult to be able to rise above petty disagreements and resentments. God also modeled this type of love for us, that loving our enemies. In Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 21, there it says that once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. God, the Father, loved us even though we were his enemies. And now he's telling us that we need to learn how to love those who are our enemies. It's part of being a grown-up son or daughter of God. The Apostle John expands on this when he writes in 1 John 4:16 that we know and rely on the love of God that he has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. And that's just one of the ways that we can grow up to be like our Father in heaven. In Luke chapter 6, verse 35, we're told there that God is merciful. And Jesus said, be merciful as your Father is merciful. In 1 John 1:15, we're told there that God is light. Jesus would teach in Matthew 5:16, he would tell people to let their light shine before men so that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. As Christians, hopefully, we understand that God is holy. In Leviticus 11:44, God declares, I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves and be holy, because I am holy. And we could go on and on about the ways in which we should try to become like our Heavenly Father. It is built into us that we want to be like our fathers. And you can especially see that in little children, little toddlers, ages 2 and 3, when they're just learning how to walk. When they come across either with their mom, and we're going to use dad's shoes tonight, for example, when they come across them shoes, they put those shoes on. And they walk around the house, and they like to kind of show the parent that they are walking around in their shoes, just like they do every day. Well, what God is saying in Scripture, he's basically saying, I want you to put on my shoes and I want you to walk in my steps. Strive to grow up to be just like me in how you love, in how you show mercy, in how you give the light into the world around you, how you attempt to become holy. Now, I said all this to kind of introduce the idea of another way in which we can grow up to be our Father. The next mark of maturity that we're going to talk about, I believe, sums up really all of the others. If you have to have one trait that you need to develop, the attitude of love and mercy and holiness and a desire to spread the light of God that he's given you, I think this is what we'll focus on a little bit more on the Sunday nights that I speak. And that's going to be the trait of servanthood. A person who is truly grown up will have that attitude in their lives. And it doesn't matter how young or how old a person may be. If they don't learn to become servants, they will never mature past a certain point. That is true of all adults that have this quality about them. And it is that quality, really, that we teach our children. Now, we have other words for it. We may call it responsibilities or chores. Your job is to take this or wash that or sweep this. But in reality, no matter what we call it, jobs, chores, responsibility, it's all about teaching our children to be good servants. Because being a good servant is what being an adult in the family is all about. There's a teacher who gave her class of second graders a lesson on magnets and what all magnets did. And then the next day, she gave a written test, and it included this question. It says, "My full name has six letters. It starts, the first letter starts with an M, or is an M. I pick things up. What am I?" And half of the class answered what? Mothers. That's right. And why would they do that? Well, because that really answered the question to them. They understood that that was a characteristic of the adult in their lives. Mom was known to be a good servant because mom picked up after them. Sandy and Easton kind of had this conversation this morning. Kids don't understand servanthood. That's why we have to give them chores. Likewise, Christians don't always understand servanthood. And so Jesus modeled that for us. For example, Jesus said that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Whereas Paul tells the Philippians in Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8, that your attitude should be that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. But as important as those words were, Jesus knew that the example was an even better teacher. And that's why on the night that he was betrayed, Jesus met with the disciples in the upper room. And before he introduced them to what we call the Lord's Supper, Jesus left the room and he returned with a bowl of water and a towel wrapped around his waist. And again, he showed them the meaning of servanthood. And in the next few weeks, we're going to talk about how to shift from servanthood, from the childhood idea of chores to the grown-up idea of taking responsibilities as servants of God. And when we spend enough time trying to grow up and to be like our Father, after a while, we begin to look like him to others. And I'll close with this story. There's a story of a mountain that's in the northeast part of the United States. And it has a pretty peculiar feature to it. It looks like the face of an old man, and that they call that the old man of the mountain. And the legend goes that there was an old man who lived in those parts, and during his free time, he would go and he would just stare at the mountain and stare at the mountain and stare at the mountain until eventually, again, as the legend has it, the mountain began to look at the man and look like the man as they stared at each other. He spent so much time gazing at the mountain that again, eventually, his face began to resemble that of the old man of the mountains. Again, probably not true. But I do know that the more time that we spend looking at the face of our Father in heaven, the more time we spend trying to be like him, the more we will begin to look and act like him to others. And I think that, of course, would be a wonderful goal to have. Tonight, if you're not a Christian, the lesson is yours. We encourage you to make that decision. If you are a Christian and need the prayers of the congregation, now would be an opportune time to make those known as well. As together we stand and we